Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
I hope you can say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. And so we're sharing last time with the junior high schoolers. It's okay to go a little bit crazy with the Lord personally. Thank you. It's okay. It's okay to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I really love you. Right? That's part of our maintenance, our relationship with the Lord. Right? Now, life needs a lot of experience, isn't it? Life's full of experiences. But today, when we come to this message, we have to lay down some foundation, I would say. I would say this is a foundation. And I think Brother Timothy had reminded us, even though we're full of feelings, even though we're full of life, but this life has a foundation. It's not something that we just kind of make up, or someone even call, oh yeah, Brother Frank shared in the summer school of truth. Brother Frank, Brother Roger, Brother Seth, we're not your foundation. Our foundation is where? It's in the Bible. So, if we look at outline number 6, the sense of life. The sense of life. What is the sense? That's just a more stronger, a better word saying, you have feeling. Have feeling of life. So, the first, Roman numeral 2, we need to lay some foundation. Saints, do not look down on this. This is your salvation. Amen. Years from now, when many of the things we have forgotten, your feeling is not trustworthy. Oh, am I in the spirit? Am I this? Am I that? You come back to where? You come back to the Word. Who said that? Who said that? Sister, hallelujah!
Amen.
We come back to the?
Word.
We come back to the Word. The Word is our foundation. And then our Brother Sam will share, following that, with much, much exposition on our experiences. And we hope, and we pray, and we've been praying. You're high schoolers, college saints, you have life experiences.
Amen.
Confirm it with your experience. We need such a confirmation. This is not a performance. You know, you wonder why the brothers, after sharing, they put on two mics and there's it's like a testing or what. You're not quite sure exactly what they're doing. The confirmation at the end of the speaking is the echoing of the Spirit that's in you.
Amen.
We share the same life.
Amen.
We share the same Spirit.
Amen.
Therefore, whatever we speak, if it's from the Lord, then the Lord, the Spirit that's within you, Ethan, will reflect. We hope we can hear that, because much of the help I'm receiving a lot of the time is from your sharing. And one time I was really, last night I was kind of just hiding over there listening to your sharings. I was like, man, I want to grab some of these, some of you, and take them into the junior hires. Why? Because, the words you were sharing was just so good.
Amen.
Why? Because these were your experience in life. Life is full of experiences. And you have much experience. And do share them, because we're in this body together.
Amen.
All right. Talk about being just a lot of things. Like today I was even just talking to Brother Larry. Where's Brother Larry? Brother Larry, he's over there, right? He said, hey, brother, what are you doing? I said, I'm studying. I'm nervous because I don't know what to share, right? He said, oh, can I sit with you? Yeah. So I said, oh, I'm looking at Romans 8:6. And then he started rattling off Romans 8:6. I got to look. I said, what's Romans 8:6? He said, oh. And I'm also looking at Ephesians 4:19. And he started rattling off Ephesians 4. That's called what? That's long-term memory. I say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm kind of going back a little bit to your advantage right now. You are young. You are young, right? Your brain is function at a level of storage, information gathering, right? Cloud. Forget about that cloud. This is your cloud. You got the biggest cloud in there, right? The cloud computing. Right now, you're just storing all this massive amount of Word of God in you, right? And then in time, as your life experience evolves, as you grow in life, these storage, these massive amount of divine Word, the basis that's in you, it starts bubbling up, right? It's like that brother, show it to us. What is Romans 8:6? And give me Ephesians, amen, give me Ephesians 4:19.
Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I honestly, praise the Lord.
That is
glorious. I can't do that. Right? Because why? I wasn't studious, you know. Look, I was young too, right? But I wasn't studious enough, right? When the brothers say the same thing, that it was the same charge. Is it, brothers, memorize this verse. Who needs to memorize this verse? Yeah. I need them now. Praise the Lord. But dear saints, this is encouragement to you.
Amen.
Do believe. This is your advantage. Use your youth as your advantage, right? When you are able to absorb, store all these divine words into you, even if you don't understand, it's okay. It's in you. Just like those commercials that you're watching when you're a kid, you know, I don't know, Tony the Tiger, whatever, you can't get it out of your brain. I can't get it out of my brain. It's kind of sad. I remember the little commercial jingles I had when I was a kid. I was singing along, yeah. And then now I remember that. So, but Romans 8:6, I got to think about it a little bit. But praise the Lord, I made up my time. I spent about half an hour there, said, oh Lord, in the car. Amen. For the mind set on
the flesh is
death. For the mind set on the spirit
is life and peace.
If the mind is still working, the person obviously is not dead yet, right? But what is Paul saying? He said, the mind set on the mind, flesh is
death.
It'll be harder for the junior high schooler, for the college students, for the more, you know, astute brothers and sisters over here. What is death here referring to? Somebody physically dead? Obviously not, right? It's referring to some part of you, your feeling at that time, your sense, just die. Right, so even though the Bible did not mention the word, you do it today, you know, the brother Lee, brother Nee's time, they when they need to find out the word search, they read the whole Bible once. Seriously, right? Brother Nee actually has a photographic memory, but he still reads Bible like once a week. So we can't do that, right? But praise the Lord. There is something good, right? So you can do an eye silo, you go in there, you search, right? If you search for sense of life, right, you're not going to find it directly in there. Just like triune God, you're not going to find it in there, right? It's not in the Bible directly, but the truth is obviously in there. This death is a feeling. Don't you feel death in you operating sometimes? Yeah. And when did that happen? That's when you align your mind. You're thinking about the game that you didn't finish. When you're thinking of whatever the thing, it could be good, it could be bad. It didn't say what. It's just when you set your mind on the flesh. And sometimes this flesh includes both good part and the natural part, right? And guess what? You develop inwardly. You have the ability, as the brother was sharing last night, you have this life in you. Inwardly, intrinsically, you have a feeling within. And I can tell you, it is not. Praise the Lord. When you set your mind on the Facebooks, oh, man, why are they always more happy than I am? Because they're always on vacation. They don't put the sad things on the Facebook. So stop watching that, right? It only makes you depressed. Everybody says, oh, everybody else is more happy than I am. Of course they're happier than you are, because they should keep posting the happy things, right? The sad thing, they don't post. Do you watch a sad thing? No. So there actually did some psychology to that, right? They actually did some study. People watch Facebook a lot, they get depressed more. It's like a no-brainer, right? You're like, everybody else is more happy than I am. It's like, yeah. Yeah, they're on vacation. They take, you know, right? And they're not going to show you they had a big fight like that. Who was that? Brother Andrew was like, oh, yeah, he's not. Did you can put on Facebook that I just argue. Who said that? Argue with the, Andrew, yeah. I argue with my brother. Did you put that on Facebook? You didn't, right? But if you look at his Facebook, he probably says, oh, I was here. This is my family vacation and all that, right? So skip that part, right? Set your mind on the
Spirit.
Oh, by the way, so we haven't finished that verse yet, right? The second part is, if the mind. What's going on here? If the mind set on the
Spirit.
It's got to be better than that. If the mind set on the
Spirit.
Hey, we're in the summer school too. We're here immersed, bundled together, taking some, you know, cold shower sometime without electricity in the morning. All for what? All for that you get very excited with life and Spirit.
Amen.
So if the mind is set on the
Spirit,
it is what?
Life and peace.
Life and peace. It's a feeling. Guess what? This life in us is full of feeling. This life, as the brother mentioned, was that? It's a person. It's our Lord. It's the one you say, Lord, I really love you. He's got a lot of feeling within him. And whether you like it or you don't like it, sorry, he's going to express that feeling right into you, because you are helplessly, inseparably linked to him. You are connected. He's in you. You can't escape. Sorry. I know it's kind of after the fact that you receive the Lord. Now we tell you, you can never be separated from the Lord. And his feeling is going to be expressed in you. You're going to have a sense. You're going to have a sense of his feeling. This is proven in the Bible. How about we also take a look, Ephesians 4:19. Oh, by the way, do take your notebook out. I think there is some, I'm really taking a lesson, Brother Curtis. He mentioned to me, when we touch the Lord, we got to use our whole being.
Yeah.
So that means including your hands, going to write something. I prefer you do not highlight. Right? If you want to highlight too, that's okay. But I think Brother Ricky just mentioned, I never thought about that. If you highlight, say, oh, that's a highlight. I see some people's book. When I was in college, you probably seen some other, your friend. You open their books, all highlights, right? So which one? So which one is important, right? You don't know, right? So all highlight, right? Write it down, right? If you write it down. In fact, if you could, take your notebook out, I encourage you. I cannot force you, but I do encourage you strongly that you will write out the whole Romans 8:6. So as we recite, I hope you can write that out, because when you write, there's a physical action that just happened. And somehow, I don't know, I don't have the scientific proof that when you do that, when your muscles are moving, your fingers are moving, and you're not just typing, and you're not just highlighting, when your finger's actually writing, that transmission somehow goes over here, goes over there, and I think it somehow comes over here. Now, don't quote me on that, right? Don't put on the Facebook, right? I just got a feeling that helps you. Have you written down? The whole Romans, and I write it out. By the way, the king in the of Israel, they be instructed, say, you want to be a king? You start copying the Bible. Get real. If you copy the whole Bible, guess what they're going to do to you? I start practicing. Really, I'm just so used to this, I can't even spell things anymore, right? Because the iPad corrects for me. Sorry, that word's incorrect. I know. That's what I have you for, right? You correct that. But now you write it, right? You write it. Write it out if you could. All right. So now we come to Ephesians, but Ephesians 4:19, you don't have to write out the whole thing, but I want you to summarize it. But let's first read Ephesians 4:19. Okay, Ephesians 4:19, go.
Who, being past hearing, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness.
Yeah, lasciviousness, uncleanness, big words. Okay, you go look it up. It's something really, really bad, right? It's bad things. These are not good things. I probably don't want to mention it because I don't have a parallel word to describe that, right? It's just bad things, right? But the one I do want to focus with you is are the beginning part of it. Who being what?
Past feeling.
Nolan, what does that mean, past feeling? It's like you passed it? Past feeling means like, actually it is. Here's your feeling. You're feeling the sense of life. You passed it. You left it behind. Past feeling. I don't know how they're going to translate into Chinese or Spanish or anything like that, but right? But here is very literal. Where's your feeling? It's over there. Write that down. Lord, I don't know how you're going to write it, but this is a part I hope it becomes your prayer. Lord, I do not want to pass my feeling. I do not, Lord. You are in me. I want your feeling. I want the sense of life.
Right.
I don't want to pass the feeling.
Right.
This is your salvation, dear brothers and sisters. This is in the Bible. When everything else seems to fade away, everything is it's not so certain. Your feeling is kind of wobbly. I don't know what summer school is true 2017, 10 years from now. But you will have the word. And in fact, I actually know brothers. I was surprised to hear the brother. There's a brother who had kept his notes when he was 16. And he went back to read. How sweet is that? Write the date on it, by the way. In 2017, you were in Pennywell in New York State. You said, Lord, I want your feeling. I don't want to pass. I don't want to pass my feeling.
Amen.
I want your feeling. This is the basis of the sense of life. My time, I think, is almost up. But I do want you to at least, because this outline is short. It covers, I want to point you to the top. This is from the lesson book. Sense of life, you saw that, it said lesson 7a. There are two parts. It's the wisdom of the Lord that the gave the brother. We'll break it up into two parts. On the sense of life and the fellowship of life. These go together. These two go together, right? So don't look down. Do not look down upon the lesson book over here and the outline. This outline, it captures the essence and probably more, what most, even more up-to-date God speaking in here. So let's give a little time to this outline. At least we're going to read through it. It's fairly short. Here, it's okay if you want to write something, you want to underline it or something like that, but don't put your pen down. Open up your outline, okay? Open up your outline. And I'm probably just going to annotate it here and there as we're going through it. I hope this foundation is there, that you have the basis of the sense of life, right? Okay, Roman number one, together.
The spiritual basis for the sense of life.
It's where? No. Romans?
Ages.
And?
Yeah,
if I grab you, any one of you, I'm sorry, you notice I keep looking at your faces, right? Because I'm going to grab you in the middle of lunch, I'm going to say, brother, what is Romans 8:6? Yeah, then if I have a blank look, you know, it's okay, brother, let's do it again, because I don't remember exactly either, right? But do your best. This is your salvation, dear saints. This is your base. this is your foundation. Amen. Do not look down on this. Do not look down. This is not something academics. We just do it. We'll go through this. But this is your salvation. All right. Brothers, eight.
Although the Bible does not mention explicitly the sense of life, yet it actually speaks of the matter. For the peace mentioned in Romans 8:6 is clearly a matter of consciousness, a matter of feeling.
Okay, sister B. Brothers,
the second place in the scripture concerning the matter of sense of life is in Ephesians 4:19, which says that the Gentiles, who
being past feeling,
have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness in greediness.
Go look it up what lasciviousness means, okay? I'm not going to tell you here. You go look it up. Oh, by the way, also write it down, your note. Look at the footnote for Romans 8:6. Look at the footnote. Read the recovery version. This is your homework. Look it up. Okay? All right. Now I'm lost. Who's D? Who's on D? Brothers or sisters? Sisters. Wow, wow. Amen. Don't let that happen to you. If you let it go long enough, if you just, the feeling, you will have no feeling, right? Amen. E, sorry, it's brothers.
Because our inner sense is stronger than that of the unbelievers, due to the life within us and its sense, we must take care of this inner sense and keep it healthy and strong.
Oh, hallelujah. Roman numeral 2 together.
The source of the sense of life.
Amen. Sister A. Okay, B is very important, brother. Read it with the Spirit. This is, I have never seen this kind of utterance other than the Lord's recovery, right? This is something I thought really, really benefited me. Go.
Every life has its feelings. The stronger the life is, the keener its feelings are.
Right. It is clear, right? The tree, some of the trees over here is really big and mighty and tall, right? It is full of life. Full of leaves, right? And then if I go take a baseball bat and I swag, you know, no feeling. I take that baseball bat, right? I just had to hit the dog. Ow! If I take the baseball bat to Ethan, I didn't even have to get close. He punched me in the face or he ran away. He's full of feeling, right? He's full of feeling. The higher the life, can you imagine? We're just human beings. This God that's in you, He sees everything you see. He goes every place you go. He watch every Facebook page you're watching. What else is that thing you're doing? You think He has no feeling? Oh, that feeling is strong. You just choose to ignore it, right? Hey, see, I think that's sister's turn. Last sentence says, they are not quiet. This is the only place you see how God is not quiet. He's moving there. He's bothering you. This you can highlight. You want to write it or you just write it down. Again, this is wonderful. It's actually something that's, oh, Lord, thank you. Don't be quiet to me.
Amen.
Make some noise in me.
Amen.
Give me some feeling. I want your feelings, right? They are not quiet and motionless. Therefore, they all cause us to have
feelings.
feelings, right? Feelings. So I stop here. I hope you, like, again, I'm saying over here that lesson 7, right, it will do you good, right? This is not an assignment like you're reading the outline, because this is a little bit longer. Lesson 7, spend the time. Read it. It covers two parts in this book. It covers two parts, the sense of life and the fellowship of life. Right? These are a deeper subject. Perhaps these are the things going to save your life. Honestly, right? It's simple. A generation and generation of paths has been shared in, I believe, as early as 1950s and 1940s in the overcoming life training. Right? We pray, right, brothers? We pray that your generation, this, it'll be a reality. The law, the operating of the law of life, effortlessly, no condemnation, overcoming life, spontaneously. Amen. And by what? By maintaining it through the sense of life. Amen. It's like a light. Boom. Sense of life, right? Mm-hmm. Boom. When you see that red light, and the brothers will go into that. So do take some time, because this is a subject full of experience and feeling. So it's a charge. Amen. Not an assignment. It's a charge.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm so glad that Brother Chris had us read through this outline. Actually, these outlines are the reason why we're here in the Summer School of Truth. How about we do this? I'm going to ask, if I can ask Brother Roger, can you write on the board the table? There's a table. Under C, the sense of life and peace, and a set of words, and the sense of death, and there's a set of words. Maybe you can write that. And then how about for us, let's continue and read through Roman numeral 3.
The function of the sense of life.
Okay, and 3A.
Natural life, or in the life of the Spirit, in the flesh, or in the Spirit.
Amen. And B, the sense of death makes known to us that we are not living in the Spirit, but in the flesh. And C, the following contrasts the feeling of life and peace with the sense of death. How about the brothers? I don't want to give favor one side. All right, how about we read it together then? The sense of life and peace. Let's read these words together. Strong, satisfied, lively, bright, at ease, comfortable. And the sense of death? Weak, empty, depressed, dark, restless, in pain. Amen. You know, all these feelings that are on the board, you know, all living creatures have feelings. Brother Chris used the example of the tree, but you know, in our home we have fish. And I like to have an aquarium where it's just empty, just like in the fish store. That way you could see the fish and you could appreciate the fish. But my wife, she says, oh, that's so bad for the fish. They need plants and they need rocks and they need houses so they can hide and feel comfortable. I don't know if fish have feeling. But according to this word, they have some feeling.
Right, right.
But, you know, the fish, I don't see them depressed. They still float around either way.
Right.
You know, I actually took out all the rocks because of the algae and all that. And they seem the same. Fish may have feeling, but it's not that high. But you take my wife. Oh, she has a lot of feeling. She has feeling even for the fish. The human life is the highest life that was created by God. It's full of feeling. Yet, the believers who are regenerated by God, who has God's life, has higher feelings.
Amen.
Actually, even the highest feelings. So what we're talking about with these set of words, these adjectives, is not just human feelings. Actually, we're talking about the divine life within us. It has feelings. What is the source of these feelings. It is actually the life of God.
Amen.
We receive the life of God, but along with this life came these feelings,
right.
The consciousness of this life.
Right.
And this, like Brother Chris is saying, this is a great revelation.
Right.
This is a point of recovery.
Right.
And actually, we in the Lord's recovery, this is one of our treasures. Many in Christianity, they don't realize this matter of life, right? The life with the sense of life.
Right.
Actually, they have God's word, but they may be lacking on this matter of the sense of life.
Right.
You know, there's this verse in John 8. It's in 8:32. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you
free."
The truth shall set you
free.
Free. What does it mean to be free? Actually, it's one of these words, right? If you're free, there should be a sense, a certain feeling that you have, right? Yet many in Christianity, just like we heard from yesterday's message, they have just the law of good that they try to keep by themselves, right? And I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the sharing, the testing. It seems, oh, they got it.
Amen.
You got it.
Right.
The more I try to do good, every time I try to do good, I'm going to fail.
Right.
Actually, it's not just the young people, the serving ones. I think
Yeah. We
have some revelation as well, right? Every time you try to do good, you're going to fail. Actually, God may even cause you to fail. And actually, that's a blessing. That's a blessing in disguise. You may think, oh, you feel so low and crummy, but actually, it's good to fail. Because you realize you need another life,
right?
So what do we do then? Actually, we don't try to do good, but we try to enjoy the Lord.
Right.
We try to touch the life that's within us. We try to enjoy, stop trying to do good, enjoy, contact the Lord, and spontaneously, the law of life that is in us starts to operate. And this life will cause us to do things that we wouldn't really do. So it seems that we do have this revelation. But often, what we're lacking is in our experience. So we really enjoy this. I enjoy this. But then, what happens next? And so I appreciate a story about the brother shared about the mom asking to do dishes. You know, you're all going to go home after this week, and you're going to be in a different environment, and something like this is going to come along. You enjoyed all this, but all of a sudden someone asks you to do something, or your brother or your sister says something, and then right away, oh, there's something that comes out. You know, everything, we may have the truth in just objective way. We may know something, but it's different to have it in our living. This needs to be our experience. So how do we go on to live, to have our living match what we saw? Actually, it's by the sense of life.
Amen.
So this sense of life is so important. You know, we were actually, Brother Chris and I were trying to think, oh, what are the examples? What are the examples?
Right.
Actually, everything is an example.
Exactly.
All throughout our life, we should be sensing this.
Right.
We should be filled with examples,
right?
Everything we do in our daily life, we should be full of feeling.
Right.
What if, and this is good for fellowship, what if you might say, you know, I don't have such a feeling. I don't feel... these things, and yet you might say, I don't feel these things either. Actually, it's possible you could be like that. But that indicates there's a certain problem in your Christian life. In a Christian life, there should be the sense of life that governs us,
right.
That regulates us.
Right.
We're not regulated by the Bible in an outward way, right? The Word of God in the Old Testament, it was written in stone. It was set in stone. But in the New Testament, this law which actually represents picture, is a picture of who God is written in our hearts. It's inscribed by the Spirit in our hearts. We don't have to try to follow this. Actually, it's in us already. So even if you don't know everything, all the words of this, the Spirit would operate in you to let you know when your life is not according to God's life, when you're not walking according to the Spirit. So that's how important this sense of life is. What is Romans 8:6? What is our mind? What is our mind? Our mind is just our person. Right. It's the leading part of our soul, right? How do you make decisions, right? How do you make decisions? Actually, you make decisions because of your mind, because of how you think of a certain way. Should I go play with, what's your name, brother? Ethan? Should I have lunch with Ethan this afternoon? Or should I have lunch with, what's your name, brother?
Isaac.
So I have, now, there's Isaac and Ethan. Now, I can make a decision. I have to make a decision. How do I make a decision? Who? Actually, it's from your mind, right? Your thoughts. What I know. I don't know if that's a good example. Sorry. We could have lunch together, maybe. That was a poor example. But the point is that we make decisions based on our mind. This verse, 8:6, shows us that we have a decision. We have a choice where to put our mind, set our mind, right, to set our mind on the Spirit or to set our mind on the flesh. And if your mind is not set on the Spirit, I guarantee you it's set on the flesh. This is just how we are in our fallen life. How do we set our mind on the Spirit? Actually, it's not just one thing. It's not just one thing that we do. But it's a number of things in our life. And I would say, when I was with the brothers in a small group, they expressed that actually they spend a lot of time with the brothers together to do things together. How many of you do things with other brothers and sisters? Yeah, during the week, get together. Not in a meeting, not to have prayer. I'm talking about play basketball, or go shopping, or do other things, right? How many of you? How many of you like to do it? Yeah, good. I saw a good, strong raise of hands. Actually, I like to do that too. How many of you have friends apart from your church friends? Oh yeah, good, everyone, right? We have different groups of friends. You know, we realized this too, that actually when you spend time with your brothers and sisters, even just doing normal things, oh, that affects you. That does something to you. Actually, that's you're practicing setting your mind on the Spirit, right? When you're reading the Bible, what is that? Actually, it's not just you're doing your duty, you're doing your chore, but you're letting God's Word get into you. Amen. You may not feel anything, but actually that Word is operating, sanctifying you. Right. It may even be dwelling deep within you and may come out at some later time. This actually, all these things are setting the mind on the Spirit. All the practices, calling on the name of the Lord, going to the church meetings, praying, having fellowship with one another, all of these things in the church life that we do, it helps us to set our mind on the Spirit. Right. And we need to do this more and more. Eventually, our mind, this is how our mind becomes renewed, amen, right? And this ends up affecting whether we experience life and peace or if we have death. So there's a choice. We have a choice, just like in that song that we sang. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. You know, when that brother Andrew, when he shared about doing the dishes, sorry, if you're going to share that, I'm going to use that example. You have a choice. You know, do you stay in that feeling and Argue? You know, arguing is in the mind. But deep within, what is your feeling? I think we all can relate with that. What is your feeling when you argue? You might feel like, I'm right, and you feel good. Yet, deeper within, there's a sense of death,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the more you talk, the more you argue, you feel like you're winning in your arguments, but within, more and more, life is leaking away, and right. Death is coming
right.
in,
right?
So at that point, you have a choice. What choices have you made in the past? You consider. When you stay with your mind set on the flesh, and you just go away, and you just stay angry, maybe you feel vindicated, but within you feel just dead and far from God.
Right.
Yet, if you just shut your mouth and just turn to the Lord,
amen.
Actually, even if you're just shutting your mouth, you know, something within, it just feels peaceful within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christians are contradictions. We have two lives within us.
Right.
We're full of contradictions.
Right.
We're full of contradictory feelings as our inner, as our human life is being swallowed up, as God is spreading and making his home in our hearts. More and more, you know, these feelings, our feelings are become aligned with God's feelings.
Right.
So we need to have a lot of experience of this. So before I end, I just wanted to give some examples. How many of you have heard a testimony? Well, how many of you have ever come across money on the ground? Money, okay. All right? One time, I found a $20 bill on the ground. Anyone find anything bigger than a $20 bill? Oh, okay, good. Actually, I heard a story. You hear sometimes in the news, right? Thousands of dollars found, right? In the Salvation Army. Someone donates like a suit or something, and they find all this money. Usually they return it, right? You hear the good stories. You don't hear about all the stories where they don't return it, right?
Right.
How many of you have heard a testimony of a brother or sister say that they found money and then the Lord touched them to return it? Yeah. I think a good majority of you, right? You hear this testimony that, oh, I found some money, but then the Lord touched me, and then, oh, I couldn't keep it, so I had to return it. Praise the Lord, right? Actually, growing up, I never agreed with that. And I never liked that. I felt, if you find money, that's lost money. You're not stealing. It's there. If you don't take it, someone else is going to take it, right? You know, sometimes even in the vending machines, you know, I would, you know, do the change return and see. Sometimes money comes out. You do it enough, and sometimes a lot of money came out, and you feel good. You know, I felt like this, and I rationalized, it's okay. It's just them. It's not, you know, it doesn't say, it's not stealing. It's not. At least I felt that way. And so even those sharings I heard, it did not touch me very much, right? It did not touch me at all. But one day, I was walking in a parking lot, and I saw a $20 bill. There was no one around. The wind probably blew it all over the place, far from its owner. So I just walked. I didn't skip a beat. I just picked it up, put it in my pocket, and kept going. I did not feel anything. Yet, as I was walking, and I was going to the mall, I was going to have something to eat. And then the more I was walking, the more, oh, heavy weight. It's like, I don't want to say that the Lord was telling me, but it was a sense.
Right.
Oh, I was feeling weighed down. Something was holding me down. And the further and further I was walking, weighing me down, and just, it was a feeling. And then I started, you know, what do you do then? Oh, you start rationalizing. No, but, yeah, it's not stealing, someone left it. More and more. And then eventually I came to the point, oh, okay, maybe I'll offer it. At that time, I learned how to offer, give to the church. So I said, you know what, I'm going to offer it. And then I took more steps, but still, it wouldn't let me go. I said, you know, I'll offer that and give even more.
Hallelujah.
And you would think that would work. But still, the feeling was getting worse and worse, more and more. Eventually, I couldn't I didn't want to be in that state. So I just stopped, I turned around, I walked all the way back to the place where I picked it up. And I put it back down exactly where I found it. Oh. I felt life and peace.
Amen. Right.
That was life and peace. Right. I was happy. Right. I was praising the Lord. Lord, you're real. Thank you, Lord. Your life is in me. Maybe I gave a testimony about that. I despised that testimony in the past, but now this became something real to me.
Right?
This became something real to me. You know, the Lord is like this. You know, we say that the Lord told me. Lord, we hear this a lot. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord, how does he speak? It's actually by his feeling. His feeling within us. Don't disregard these feelings. This is God within you.
Amen.
You know, we have a verse in Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, until the Lord comes back, our whole being will be full of God. Yet until then, we have our flesh, and we have everything of our natural life, but we're God as the Spirit is sealed within us, right? So there's this kind of contradiction. So we need to always choose life. I'll just give a few more examples. Well, you know what? Let's turn to his word. Let's read John 15:10. John 15:10. This is not in your lessons, but I enjoy this verse. Let's read 9 and 10. Amen. Okay, if we have it, we can go. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, I enjoyed this chapter, but I always had trouble with verse 10 because it says, if you keep my commandments, and then right away, the law of good comes in. And I said, oh, I can't do this. I realize I can't do this. And then right away, I just my heart kind of sinks at this verse, right? Actually, the way we keep his commandments is by abiding in his love, is by loving him, right? Just like that song, Loving Jehovah. Listening to his word, listening to his voice, right? Holding fast to him, holding on to him. When we disregard the sense of life, actually it's our letting go. We should never let go. Hold on to the Lord. Stay in that. And this helps us to live a life that matches his life.
Right.
We live a life that matches everything. You know, who taught us how to lie? I love that. A lie teacher. No one has taught us. Who taught us how to hate? Right? The Bible actually says, you shouldn't murder. But actually, in 1 John, it says, if you hate your brother, actually, you're a murderer, in a sense. You know, the God's law in the New Testament is higher, right? Mm-hmm. If you say, if you call, you curse, you know, you say, stupid. Sorry, not you. As example, you call me stupid. He just killed me. He just killed me. Actually, if you said it, this points that actually it's in your matter of your heart.
Right.
How is your heart? If your heart blames you, right? If your heart blames you, there are many things that we can't see, we can't judge.
Right.
Maybe some of you are thinking something.
Right.
No one can know. You're safe in your, you seem like you're safe. You could safe in that thought. Actually, God is greater than your hearts.
Wow.
God sees.
Right.
God knows.
Right.
And so your heart blames you. You shouldn't feel comfortable. If you do feel comfortable, that's a problem. It's
right.
a problem. You're not right in
right.
this matter.
Right.
So you need to seek fellowship. You need some help. Help to turn back to the Lord so you can be full of these feelings, right? So even all the things in our heart, that our thoughts about other people, our lusting after things, all these things, God is greater than our heart. Yeah. Just some other things I want to mention, just practically speaking. You know, you can, and this I would encourage you, you really need the small groups. But there are many things, you know, we're talking about our daily life, our speaking, right? Did anyone go without speaking or saying a word today? No. No. Even the quiet ones, I'm sure we have to say something. I'm one of those. You're forced to, right? Even in our speaking, God has feelings. God has feelings, right? Not lying, but even not a matter of lying, but even, you know, pretension. Pretension. You know, my Wi-Fi is, I don't have any Wi-Fi, so my dictionary is gone. I'm without my dictionary. I don't trust my memory. What's the definition of pretension? Anyone?
Good. Pretension, I think that's when you use things to make you seem smarter than you are.
Yeah, yeah. Being showy, right? Showing. Pretension. Pretension. It's actually, it's, you know, you may, you know, when you're by yourself, you do this. But then now, because there's other people around, oh, you do something different. You know, I'm living with Brother Ola, and I'm doing a lot more in how I keep my bed and all those things. It could be some things could be because of pretension. We're just trying to make it like we are something that we're really not. Actually, this is a form of lying, and the Lord might bother you about this. Sometimes when we speak in the meetings too, right? Often if I have to share, you know, the Lord does not let you go how you shared. Maybe it took the Lord and the sense of life to get you up. But then even as the words are coming out of your mouth, the Lord might also have feelings. And he might say, no, I don't want you to say it that way. Actually, why are you saying it that way? Actually, the reason why you might be saying that way is because of some impure motive or impure heart. Maybe you're saying something to criticize another brother, or you're saying something in a critical way, but it comes out of our heart, right? God sees this, and he will give us certain feelings. We have to pay attention to these feelings. Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. I would say, in closing, choose life.
Amen.
Let's all just choose life.
Amen.
This choice is presented to us all the time.
Right.
We have many opportunities. Let's always choose life.
Amen.
This will lead to more and more life. Actually, this is how we grow in this life. And this life will become even stronger. This life will help you to know what you should do, what school you should go to.
Right?
Right? All the major decisions, who to marry. Sorry, you know, school, picking schools is way off. But the matter of marriage, that's still with me. But, you know, how do you know?
Right.
Oh, Lord, we pray that all of you,
right,
not just don't come to us just seeking fellowship. We don't know. We may have a sense. We may have a sense. But we need you. We need all of us to have this sense. This is God's sense.
Right.
This is God's life. Do you want me to tell you, or do you want God to tell you?
Right.
The way he can tell us is we need to take care of this in our daily life, little by little.
Right.
Do the dishes.
Right.
Enjoy the Lord doing the dishes.
Right.
Oh, you would be so much strong,
right,
satisfied, lively, bright, released.
Amen.
This is the reality, right? It's not just the truth, right? The truth sets you free, but the Son sets you free. Well, the Son is living within us. We need to experience him. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe we can have some prayers in twos and threes. Yeah.
Amen.